The snow is just ruining everything, man. The computers aren't working. Your finger's not working.
Yeah,
maybe you're hungover. Is that possible?
No, not at all. No. And a little bit of sleep because of the Nick Awal Foundation event last night, which was sold out.
What is that, Dave?
It's a foundation where we help different orphanages. We had our 13th annual gala in a Drury Lane of Oak Brook, and thanks to everybody buying a ticket and everybody helping out, no programs will be cut, and everybody, the kids can have their gym shoes, they can have their allowances, they can have karate, ballet, anything they need. Oh, and the pool as well.
That's awesome, man. Good cause. And you were emceeing it, correct?
Yeah, I was the MC last night. Normally I MC with somebody from ABC, NBC, but everybody was at the Emmy Awards last night.
That's right. Congrats to our local Emmy winners out there. I saw Windy City Live won a couple of awards, and lots of friends we have here in the biz.
I know we have a lot of hungover people today and the right. City of Chicago that work in the media, maybe.
That's right. Perfect day to just lounge out, listen to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN 720. We are here till 3 o'clock, and we have a great show lined up today. We're talking all things home and DIY with our very own Kim Gordon is going to be joining us around 2 o'clock. She apparently has some sweet and spicy nuts that we don't know about.
Yeah, she's very creative in making this stuff. Hey, you know, I think that's the best thing. Instead of going to buy something, make something that people will actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Yes, personalize.
We do that with our kids all the time. We like to make, instead of going to buy cards for their friends or for birthday parties or relatives, we have the kids sit down and make a crafty card, which I think means so much more. You're gonna be more apt to keep a card like that if you got it. I know we do. But that's our kids. Maybe people are different. Speaking of kids, we're going to be talking to designer Cara O'Connor, who's going to be discussing the topics of, you know, getting the children involved in the design process as they grow into their tweens. Maybe even before that, you know, getting them engaged and talking about color, talking about space, spatial planning. There's a lot more to it. I think it's a very educational process. It's not just labor. You know what I mean? It's not child labor, Dave.
No, it shouldn't be. I like the fact because like that, if a child is happy, maybe the designated homework area will inspire them to do well in school as well.
If they had the hand in designing that, they take ownership of it. Trust me, I've been there before. I've seen it. And then they keep it neater. They will be more apt to sit there and do their homework at the desk that they picked out or repainted. There's a lot of great ideas we'll go over with Kara. We'll also be talking about how to grow the house as the family grows. How do you make those changes to accommodate the home if you're going to stay put? And maybe, you know, with a growing family, things will get tight. How do you redesign the spatial plan? How do you, you know, make everybody in the house happy?
And don't worry about kids ruining furniture and accessories as well. She's going to teach us how to do that.
That's a hard one. I try. When we first moved into our house, we bought all new stuff. And like, oh, it's going to be great. I bought a white sofa, a really deep, awesome, cushy sofa that you dream of. Like, you just curl up. It's probably like 3 foot deep, you know, on the legs. So you could just pop up there, grab a throw blanket. And it lasted, my daughter's 2.5. My son's 5.25. It didn't last too long. Let's just say that.
That sofa hugged you.
It's now gray.
Oh, it's gray and it still hugs or no? It's still
it hugs you. It's a little bit more smellier than it was when we first bought it. But we constantly get it steam cleaned and it goes back to normal. Like, oh my God, our sofa's back. And then like 3 days later, my daughter spills 5 things on it.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
That's how things are. Speaking of kids, and you worked with a family in your season finale for Downtown Shabby for some kids that had to come back to America.
Yeah, it was a great, great episode last night. Last night on FYI Network was the season finale to our show Downtown Shabby. And we work with a phenomenal family, the McDonald's, who just came over from overseas. Well, let them tell us, Dave.
So had a great job opportunity and moved to Sydney. We were there for 3 years. From there, we moved to Shanghai, China, and we were there for about 10 and a half, 11 years. And then for the last 2.5 years, we were based in Singapore.
We were really enjoying our life in Singapore, had a lot of great friends. The boys loved their school, but his company's headquartered here in Chicago, so we knew someday they might ask us to come back. Felt a little too soon for me, but it was a great time, actually, to bring the boys back to America.
You really helped Jeff and Angela because they wanted to keep their possessions that they bought throughout all their travels, especially in Asia. And you had to work around that, right?
Yeah, we had to work around a lot. And if you didn't see last night's episode, I don't want to give you the spoiler, but there was a dramatic turn that happened halfway through, not even a quarter way through the renovation.
Can we call it a dangerous discovery?
Highly dangerous discovery, which sidelined progress on the home. But it ends in a really positive way, and you'll just have to watch the episode. You could download them on Apple iTunes. You can go to FYI twitch.tv /downtownshabby, or just Google Downtown Shabby. You can watch it online. They're also rerunning them on A&E every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., sometimes 9 a.m. Sometimes they double dip and do a 9 and 10 a.m. viewing of some repeats of the first or second episodes.
I really admire that you have to cater different needs, different likes, different personalities. You definitely have a heart. Well, you and Sherry both have it hard.
Yeah, it's that, you know, listen, we have a passion for what we do. I love design. She loves renovation. Together, that's why we make a good team. And dealing with the personalities is probably the biggest challenge of any design process. I'm sure Kara O'Connor will confirm that. You know, it's usually not the come up with a fantastic design, which is the issue. It's the homeowner and nurturing the relationships and nurturing the process and making sure their voices are heard and accountability for everything. So it's definitely a challenging industry, but you know what? I like it. I love it.
Do you like that lifestyle? There's a Spanish saying that te gusta la mala vida, that you like... You like that you like to suffer.
I don't like to suffer. No, that's actually 100% wrong. I don't like to suffer. I think suffering is a waste of time. I think acceptance is really what it's all about. Just accepting where you are, we're at, no matter how difficult it is. Anyway, we have a fun show lined up. We went over some of our guests. We'll be speaking to the folks from Harlem Fine Arts show that's returning to Chicago. We'll have one of the artists joining us as well, Kuzia Matasa. I think that's how you say it. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. And that's exactly what we're talking about, love and marriage. And then what happens after that? Babies. And the house you live in, well, maybe is not as functional as it was at one time. And because of babies and the multiplying nature of that and how that goes, I know that firsthand because I have two. You need to kind of adapt, and you need to change things around. You may even need to move, or maybe not. Let's talk about it. Kara O'Connor is joining us. She is a designer, and is fabulous. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank. Glad to be here.
How many kids do you have?
I have two little girls, six and four and a half.
Six and four and a half. Yes. Two girls. I have one girl, Lola, who's 2 and a half, who acts like she's 10. no joke. I mean, she really does, and she's a diva. But I love her.
My six-year-old is right there. She's in the diva club for sure.
So is she demanding of what goes in her room? And
you know, let's put it this way. She's very particular. She definitely has a sense of style, and she already has a boyfriend who she's not afraid to run up to and just kiss. She's like 6 going on 16. I'm terrified of what actual 16 is going to be like. But
that's just...
Yeah, she's a diva.
Is it real? Like a real boyfriend?
Yeah, it's a real little boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not as into it as she is. He's like scared
stiff. It's like, ew, don't kiss me.
Exactly.
So how'd you get into design?
You know, it was kind of a topsy-turvy pathway to get to design, but... I started off in actually radio and television.
Oh, cool.
And I had an unfortunate accident where I was attacked by a dog.
Oh, boy.
It bit my face.
You're kidding.
No, it was kind of that's a whole nother show and a whole nother storyline.
How long ago?
That was when I was 22.
Oh my gosh.
I was out in LA. I got my first big job out of college. I was like rocking and rolling, working on a nationally syndicated TV show. And then I had this unfortunate accident where my kind of on-camera career, if you would, or that pathway was sort of halted because of this accident. And I really wasn't embraced in LA as I wanted to be. So,
which only, 2% of people are?
Right.
I mean...
Right. It's sort of like, oh, you're never going to be on camera now with that big old hideous bite mark on your face. So I moved to Chicago, and I came here sight unseen. I had some friends that like convinced me to move here. I'm like, yep, I'm going. I packed my stuff. And I started acting because there's an amazing acting scene here, and I did
like improv stage.
Yeah, I did a lot of Second City. I did children's theater. I did everything from like trade shows to local commercials to being a PA on various sets and things like that. And I acted for many, many years. And so as an actor, you know, you have a million jobs.
Yes.
And one of those jobs was working in a high-end restaurant, actually Boca.
So like the jobs that actually pay. Right?
Yeah.
Versus acting.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I would like, you know, I had 9 W-2s one year, actually. I was a hustler, man.
Good for you.
The restaurant that I worked at, the general manager, I remember he got his first condo, and I was like, I could help you decorate that. And I charged like a pretty minimal fee, and I did his place. And then that kind of turned into another one, into another one, into another one. And before you knew it, I started getting like a little in over my head. I realized design is not just about throwing pillows on a sofa and like changing a paint color.
Right.
We were getting into some electrical things, and I really started getting interested in design. And I was getting kind of sick of doing the midnight rehearsals and the struggling acting thing. So I went back to school at Harrington. And right after I graduated, I basically opened my business. We're going into 9 years in January.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's
That's fantastic. Do you specialize in any one facet of design?
Residential. Primarily high-end residential. We've done a few like smaller commercial projects, but and the reason we're here today is to talk about family-friendly design, right? And
yeah.
So that's kind of my niche. I do a lot of families, and that's sort of my passion too, especially as a mom of two and a growing family myself. I enjoy working with families.
So give me the spiel. Like, so a client comes to you and they're like, you know, my wife's pregnant. I got two kids already. We need to make our house work for us. You know, what is the first, like, walk me through your process.
So, you know, the first interview and just kind of going through and listening, really. It's just like, okay, how do you live? How do you want to live? What's important to you? Are you going to stay here for 5 years? Like, I see a lot of young families that really, really, really want to stay in the city, but you know, plans change and
yes, they
greener
do.
Pastures out in the burbs. And so,
yeah, I was going to, you know, just for a second, let's touch on that, because we were talking about some stories I just recently read about the suburbs versus the city. And I know my wife and I had the same debate. My wife's a city gal. I am too, for the most part. I'm a city guy. But when you have kids, things do change, no matter what anybody tells you. And it's, I laugh at these couples who are like, oh, we're staying in the city. You know, we're city people. And, you know, what. I'm like, dude, talk to me in like 4 years when your kid's like four and you have to like, you know, he's playing on the cement in front of your house.
Or you didn't get into the selective enrollment school that you wanted. And It's definitely a challenge. You know,
are you
living in the city.
I mean, do you?
I live in the city.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay. And you got the two kids.
I got the two kids. We are over in the Portage Park neighborhood, which is really family-friendly. It's sort of a up-and-coming neighborhood as far as like restaurants and shops and things like that. There's a lot of good vibes over there and good
What's
people.
The psychology? Give it to me. Like, what do you think? And why do you feel the city is a better choice for you and your family?
You know, I enjoy the benefits of the city. I really do. And for my job, I need to be in the city. I really do. So for me, I can be anywhere from like the West Loop over to Lincoln Park, jet over to Rogers Park, up to the North Shore, all in one day.
And, true. I do miss that about.
And I love driving through the different neighborhoods. I love sort of like, you know, I'm nearing 40 and I still feel really hip and cool because.
So it's really about you. It's
about
you feel. Yeah.
The family. It's about me and how hip and cool I feel. No, really. I mean, this is a city that provides so much. And I do still enjoy the theater and concerts and things like that. And they're more accessible for us here in the city.
There is theater in the suburbs, too, just so you know. Wow. Right next to the Walmart.
Are you trying to get me to the suburbs?
I might be. I might be just trying to entice you.
Yeah.
But I will share, though, for me, it was we struggled, you know, like with the idea of it. Like for the first year, we moved so far out to the burbs, like all Lamont.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
I don't.
That's near Idaho.
Okay.
It's really far from the city for us, you know. And we had family out there, and they were like, oh, yeah, come move by us. We'll see you all the time. We'll help out with the baby. That was the main motivation of leaving the city, was the family saying, oh, yeah, we're going to help you out. It'll be great. That didn't happen.
No.
No. We moved all the way out there. I was like, where is everybody? Cricket, you know, kind of thing. And then my wife's like, we're moving back to the city. So we bought a crash pad in the Gold Coast.
Oh, cool.
So we ended up coming down every weekend. Like, it was a little vacation spot, which was awesome. And then she got pregnant. Ruined everything. Ruined the plan.
Well, do you still have the crash pad?
I still have the second child. I still have that.
Okay.
I don't have the crash pad anymore.
I think that was a good choice.
We had to trade it off.
Yeah.
One wasn't working.
You know, I work with a lot of families that have made the same choice that we have to stay in the city, and it's working for them, and my job is to make their space work for them.
This is a song by Cheryl Pepsi, and it's called Thanks for My Child. It's romantic.
What possessed
it's just like the
you
city.
Would play this song coming back from break?
The thing is that it's a romantic day. The snow, you're analyzing, you're getting nostalgic.
Are you drinking eggnog in there? What are you doing?
It's the effect of the lemonade I was drinking last night.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. I'm sorry for that introduction. I feel like, what the hell just happened to the show? Anyway, we're talking to designer Cara O'Connor here, and we're talking about, well, I guess this is why he did it. We're talking about designing the kids' room and how to get them engaged and involved in the process, as well as what materials we should use for the kids' room. And we left off with our teas, Cara. Wall coverings. You're a fan.
Big fan.
Talk to me about it.
So, you know, wall coverings have come so far. This is not your grandmother's, you know, paisley border in the kitchen anymore, right?
Yeah.
This is wall coverings are much easier to remove, so people need to know that. They don't need to be afraid of putting it up. That's often been the fear. You know, the 70s wallpaper, it's so impossible to take down.
And, oh, yes. It's a renovator's worst nightmare.
Yes, right. And nowadays, it's not as challenging to get it off. Should you change your mind or it's outdated in 5 to 10 years? So there's lots of great options. And as far as kids' rooms, I'm really like into exploring this idea of these removable papers.
Have you installed them before?
Well, I've just purchased my first couple rolls from my daughter's room.
Okay.
So it hasn't gone up yet, but I will be happy to share the images with you once they do.
Please do.
The papers arrived. I felt it. It feels great.
So talk to me about the texture. And is it like a giant sticker, basically? Like those
removable fathead type of things? It's a paper.
Okay.
And it's just a different adhesive on the back, which I can't speak to as technically as my wallpaper hanger was able to.
Right.
The thing is that they're kind of billing these as like apartment papers. Like you could put them up and have great paper for a while and remove them.
Speaking of which, you think these would be landlord approved?
Well, they seem to be. They
wow,
seem
that
to
can
be
open up
off.
A whole world for people.
And I
living
did a lot
apartments.
Of research prior to like committing myself or recommending them to clients. I've read a lot of articles. Like I said, I had my paper hanger over. I had him inspect it. I wanted to make sure that like the proof was in the pudding and I was putting something on my walls and recommending something to my clients that was a viable option.
Graphically, are they just as cool, as vibrant?
Graphically, they're amazing. Now, I chose this paper for my daughter's room, not just because it was a removable paper, but because I love that pattern more than anything I've seen. And, you know, as a designer, I have access to the Mart and tons of showrooms. I just loved this paper. And
did you find it at the Mart or did you get it?
No, I didn't. I found it on Etsy, which is an amazing resource for removable papers.
It's an amazing resource for anything.
It is,
like,
right?
Kitsch cool design,
totally.
you name it, DIY.
Yeah.
Lots of great artisans out there. And I'm so glad that it's kind of emerged and continued to prosper.
And it's so wonderful because the paper that I selected for my daughter's room is handmade by this woman in Lafayette. And so it kind of opens this world market to you, really.
Yeah.
And
so if you see that, if this works for you in your daughter's room, will you continue to use this woman's work?
Sure, of course.
That's good.
Yeah.
See, that's the way the world works. It's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, it's like when you work with independent artisans, there's sort of that lovely give and take where like I was emailing her specific questions. She was like, look, I'll give you free shipping. I mean, there's just like, it was like, she really wanted to see her product get out there. And as an artist trying to build her brand, she was eager to make me happy. And it was nice to speak to the artist directly. And it was felt good to give the artist work. So
awesome. Now, will you get your daughter involved in the process?
No,
I won't.
The 4-year-old.
Because you want it done right.
You know, like I said, these papers are supposed to be DIY and apartment friendly. I am still going to have my paper hanger install it. But for my 6-year-old's wallpaper, we are going with a more traditional wallpaper, and she did weigh in on those options. So, yes.
That's great. So how important, in your opinion, is it to get your child involved in the process, no matter how young they are?
You know, I think that depends on your child. Some kids are like, surprise me, and yeah, it's okay, cool, mom, whatever. I've worked with some clients. I mean, one client, I would say my toughest client in 8.5 years of business was a 13-year-old girl. And she's a tough cookie, man. She knew what she wanted, and I would bring her options upon options. And no, that looks 70s. No, that's cool. And I'm like, okay.
At 13, she knows what looks
70s. She knew what she wanted. And so we eventually did this, like, really, like, she had a great design sense, and it was really cool. We did this beautiful, kind of like soft white room with lily pulls or patterns everywhere. So it was sort of this, like, really sweet tween room.
Yeah.
And it's going to grow with her.
And for those who don't know Lily Pulitzer, it's that vibrant kind of Palm Beachy style, lots of bursts of colors, stripes, and florals. Oh, that's cool. That's great. And then, so what about paint? Do you get your kids involved in the painting process?
Sometimes. I mean, for me, you know, again, like my 4-year-old daughter is sort of just happy to like, okay, great. You know, my six-year-old, she wants to be involved in the process. So yeah. I'll kind of narrow it down to like these three viable options. And then she gets to pick from that, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't hand her a swatch book and be like, go for it.
Oh, I'm all about child labor. I make my kids get in there. They paint with me, but they love it.
Like,
my son gets in there. I got him a little Craftsman drill that's real drill, but it's kind of small, battery powered. My daughter is all about painting. She, like, at any turn, I can't do anything in my house because of my children. Because if I want it done like really, really good,
right,
I have to wait till they're sleeping. If I'm like, all right, you know, help me paint the wall, you know, it just means that you're gonna have to paint over 3 more times until, you know, when it's done. But there's something about that. That's a lot of fun.
I mean, you're building and making something together, and the most important thing in the world, your home that you share together. So that's really special.
This is true. Now, how important is the spatial planning when it comes to a growing family?
It's pretty important. And it also depends on, again, like where you see yourself in 5 years. Is this going to be your forever home? Is this where you guys want to put down roots and maybe add a second, third kid?
Do city folk have forever home?
Yes, my city folks do have forever homes.
They do?
Yes. Listen, I'm working with a family right now in Old Town. They are pregnant with their 5th kid.
Good Lord.
Staying. They love
So I guess I could see the outskirts of when I say city, I'm thinking the immediate, like this area. Like I lived in River North, like I lived in Fulton, Jefferson.
Right.
To me, that's like real city, like in Addison and Lakeview and still Chicago, you know, but you got homes there. So that's a little different.
Like, there's a lot of suburbs in the city.
What I'm talking about. To me, that's not officially the city, though. Like when I'm saying city, I mean these high rises, cube living, you know, that kind of thing.
You know, I have to be honest. I don't have a lot of families that are living in high rises. I have more of my
outskirt
couples or single clients that live in high rise, and they're kind of like city living, like as you're imagining.
Right.
But there's
my twisted imagination.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
distorted.
No, the West Loop is hot with families right now. I have a couple clients down there, and it's great. They enjoy it. You know, it's something to be said to walk out of your house with your kids and, like, hit up a restaurant, go to the post office, go to the grocery store, and a park on the way home. It's pretty cool.
I'll tell you the turning point for us was we had our son, Luca, and we were walking around River North, and like we'd like to always love to, like, exactly what you're saying, we walked into the city, we went to East Bank, and we did the whole thing. We loved it until one day we're walking, you know, back home from one of our little, you know, excursions, and some lady right in front of us got jumped and mugged, and like they took her cell phone. And I was like okay, time to go. We're done. I know that sounds lame, but you know, you start to think about these things. You're like, okay, all right. And then, you know, recently where we had our crash pad in the Gold Coast, there was a shooting down the block yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real concern. And that's a real unfortunate evil of city life, you know, and the schools. I mean, that's can be challenging for families, too. But I think that if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. And if you're going to stay, what is the way to set up shop in the house that's most effective?
Right. So a lot of cities don't have huge backyards. Right. And a lot of my clients actually have either roof decks so we kind of make those into outdoor spaces, which it is cool. It's like, it's sort of getting yourself out of this idea of like, not everybody needs to have this big, huge rolling meadows backyard with white picket fences and things like that. Not everybody wants to live like that.
I agree.
You know? So to have a cool roof deck with Chicago Roof Deck and Garden, I've worked with them a few times. They create the coolest outdoor spaces. And you forget that you're sitting on like a 20x18 square.
Definitely. I told my wife, if you want me to move back, that's the way it's going to happen.
Right.
Like, I want a penthouse. I want a rooftop that looks like a lawn.
Oh,
it would be great.
I've got a girlfriend in the city. She's got a super cool wood-burning pizza oven in her backyard, custom built. Like
all day long, I'll do that.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And so there's ways to make it family-friendly. And
so what are some of your tips for the interiors?
Like for the interiors. Okay, so we talked about wallpaper.
Yeah.
I'm loving wallpaper. And one of the reasons, just to hit back on that removable paper, is because, you know, kids grow and kids tastes change. And all of a sudden, like, Dora the Explorer is not cool anymore, you know? And next day, they're
Dora
into this.
Dora is always cool. Don't
That's
say
what
that.
I keep trying to tell my six-year-older. I said, you used to love
Diego.
Dora.
Go Diego, go.
But so, you know, so it's like you can put up these papers and make the kids' room sort of more playful and youthful and maybe even like a serene nursery vibe at first. And then when they hit 5 years old, you might want to give them a new look. And then at 10, maybe another new look. And
so
then,
like every 5 years, you should kind of check it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Loosely speaking.
Yeah. If you want to go long-term planning, then like getting convertible bedding is always really cool. Beds that can either like turn into bunk beds or something with a trundle.
Yes.
Something with a trundle that can come out and then you add storage later. There's all sorts of convertible bedding that's really useful for as your child grows.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to have more with Kara O'Connor. And I want to ask you, is there a universal, and I'll give you some time to think about this, okay, so I don't put you on the spot. Is there a universal color palette that could take a kid from 7 to 17? And how can, you know, we were talking about the one color that you would say would be everlast.
So you gave me this question and I like literally started sweating over the break. I'm like, what's the, and then I just said, there is no universal color. I will give like a universal tip, if you will,
sure,
is to keep your walls neutral. I'm not a big fan of like overly saturated walls. I think that if you don't want to continually to paint every 5 years and 10 years and as your child grows, and I think keep the walls neutral and then accessorize.
That's a good tip.
Yep. And I love having painted saturated furniture. I think that is so fun in a kid's room. I use local Megmaid all the time. She has awesome pieces that you can pick any color you want. So that's
Megmaid,
really fun.
Not Meg Caswell, is it?
No, it's not Meg Caswell. It's Megmaid. And
it's just Megmaid. I mean, come on.
It's just Megmaid. Now I feel like I'm doing a commercial for Meg. Hey, Meg. but they have awesome pieces. I've used them in several clients' homes, my own home. Great way to like add these like saturated fun pops of color without touching the walls. So,
all right. Speaking of touching stuff, what's your take on worrying about kids and ruining furniture and accessories?
Okay, this is a big concern with families. Oftentimes people think that they have to be pigeonholed to like that microfiber and they can't have nice things in their main living spaces. Oh, we have pets, we have dogs, we have kids. And this is usually when they call me in and they say, you know, we want to have this look that I saw on Pinterest or House or something like that. But I'm afraid because, you know, the kids are going to ruin it and should we wait? And I say, no. We can get you a beautiful space. We can get you this look and still be kid-friendly. Absolutely. So it's all about the fabric selections, and it's all about the material selections that we make.
Your optimism is enthusiastic. I like
you. Listen, I have a cream carpet that I had cut when my daughter was just born. She's now 6. It's still cream.
Wow.
It's not tie-dyed or anything.
I usually hand my clients that have kids a bottle of Scotchgard or 3.
Well, that's
say,
the
here,
key.
Spray everything.
You just hit the nail on the head. That's the key, is getting things treated. So we use companies that are pet safe, friendly, kid safe, human safe, environmentally safe. And getting your stuff treated is just a little extra insurance policy.
It is.
There's a lot of companies out there you can just.
And usually, depending on where you're buying your furniture from, I know a lot of the big boxes do that for you. They'll put a treatment on there for like $40 extra.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. I know we did that when we first. And every time we get our. So, and I don't know if you've ever tried this, but actually getting your sofa steam cleaned professionally is a lifesaver.
Is it? Okay. I have not done that personally yet.
So there's a company that I use, Executive Green Services, and they come out. And I have this cream, beigey, sofa. It's awesome. I got it at Z Gallery. It's super comfy, deep.
Nice.
And I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But my kids destroy it. Like, that's their palace.
Right.
I make monkey cages out of them. Like, you should come over one time. But I one day I'm like, you know what? Before I go buy another sofa, let me bring this company and see what they could do. I swear it restored it back to, like, factory greatness.
That's awesome.
For $75. I mean, you can't beat that.
And then you didn't spend the money on a new piece. That piece didn't end up in the landfill. I mean,
that's
it's like win-win. That's
what
awesome.
I was thinking about Mother Nature the whole time.
Right. This is why I like this Megmaid company because they redo existing pieces. And it's like, I love reduce, reuse, recycle. That's a huge motto of mine.
Me too.
And
what about things like should people be worried about nicks on the wall and little things like the kids go through? Because I have so many clients who like chase their kids around with a paintbrush and right behind them they're out there like, you know, hitting spots? And
I think today it's especially difficult because we all like have access to so much. There's so many like beautiful visuals out there. We get our home magazines, we have our Pinterest, we have our house, there's a million design blogs, and it's like we are not living in an Architectural Digest photo shoot, you know. And I always tell people that I'm like, listen, this is real life. Like, you like that piece, let's incorporate it into your space.
Yeah.
If we were doing a photo shoot, I might edit that out for the photo shoot, but like, it's part of your family and you like it and that's cool. So no, nicks are going to happen.
I grew up in the Architectural Digest world.
Did you?
My mom, like, my grandmother had this amazing antique furniture and kept the plastic on it.
Oh yeah. You were one of those families, huh?
Yeah. And then my mom had a room in the house that had like statues and stuff that we were not allowed to even walk through. It was like, take the alternate route. Or you'll be punished.
So you lived in a museum, essentially.
Well, I mean, the rest of the house was fine. It was just these two rooms,
right,
and my grandmother's furniture that we couldn't play on. And I think till the day she passed away, the plastic still was on the furniture.
That's amazing. And that is how people used to live. It's like, look at my living room, but just look at it.
Just look at it. Right. Don't sit on it. Don't. Right. It's not for function. It's pure visual. It's a museum.
Right.
But I'm glad that, you know, we've grown from that.
I mean, it's nice. I always encourage families, if they have the space and, of course, the means, to set aside a space that might be a little bit more high-end or a little bit more adult-friendly, right?
Yeah.
Like, master bedrooms are a big place where people just kind of like to retreat at the end of the day. And that family I was telling you about earlier with the five kids, we're redoing their master bedroom right now. She knows she's going to spend a lot of time in there with the new baby, and she's got four other little ones to manage. So this is going to be kind of like a shut the door,
padlock it,
zen zone, right?
Yeah.
So we were selecting materials the other day, and it's like, look at this beautiful fabric.
It's
gorgeous. This is going to be in her new bedroom. It's still kid friendly, but it's gorgeous, and it's going to be very, very, very like peaceful, romantic,
but still zone. Like, hey, if you spill something on it, it's not going to kill me.
Right.
Yeah. See, I've been pushing a lot of, because the outdoor fabrics have become so amazing.
Yes, outdoor fabrics.
And they're all
awesome.
Treated and they're durable, yep, that you can actually use them in a scenario where you have young kids.
Yes. Good point. And when I do a lot of custom banquettes, I use a lot of that, like, outdoor fabrics and vinyls that are just wipeable.
Yep.
Wipeable materials are awesome. We were talking about wall coverings earlier. When you are sourcing wall coverings, make sure that it's wipeable. Make sure that maybe it's vinyl and you can just clean it right up. Then you don't have to worry about little mustard hands on the wall, right?
Little mustard hands, right. That would be a blessing if all it was mustard hands and not a Sharpie. Anyway, lots of fun. Kara O'Connor, thank you so much. Where can people find out more information about you?
You can check me out on my website. It's www.kocinteriors.com. I have Pinterest pages. I have Instagram, all the good social media, Facebook, House.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Thanks for
You're
having
great.
Me.
Yeah,
been a
my
lot
pleasure.
Of fun.
Come back. We'll have more design chat.
I'd love to. Thank you so much.
All right. Coming up after our news break, our very own Kim Gordon is going to explain to us all about her sweet and spicy nuts. And don't take that the wrong way. as well as what is it like to decorate for Hanukkah? And right now, it's nuts improvement. Dave. Don't take that the wrong way.
You know, you can definitely spark up a topic or a conversation at any party with this type of DIY gifts.
Right. And joining us, WGN's radio's very own Kim Gordon.
Yay!
Thanks for coming in on a Sunday, Kim.
My pleasure. It's beautiful watching everybody walk by in the snow. It gets you in the Christmas spirit, doesn't it?
It does. And this is a different pace for you than your usual weekly craziness, right?
It is a little bit of a different pace. It feels kind of funny sitting here as the guest. But
right?
Yeah.
It is. Like, oftentimes when I do Bill and Wendy's show or Steve Cochran show, I feel the same way when I'm sitting over there. I'm like, this is weird.
Well, and normally I'm upstairs.
Right.
So
you're in a whole different.
Being down here in the showcase, it's, you know.
Yeah. And you run the news department up there, right?
I don't run it.
Well,
some
people
ask
say
David,
you do.
Ask David, do I run it?
That's what Dave says. Dave says you run the
Certain
show up
she
there.
Does, yeah.
Right, exactly.
When Judy's not around.
Right, exactly. So this whole spicy nuts business, tell us about, you know, what your holidays are like and how this became a tradition for you.
It's interesting because I love to do Pinterest. I love to collect recipes. And I was looking for something to give to people that wasn't cookie related, because I feel like everybody gets cookies, everybody gets
cookies
fudge,
are played out,
you know, and I just wanted to do something different. So I came across this recipe that was in Food and Wine several years ago. It was in a Thanksgiving recipe, and I think we're going to post the recipe online so you don't have to go Googling it. But I just thought, wow, these sound really good. They're sweet, but they have a little bit of crunch to them. They have a little spice after. And it's just something that you can put in a bowl and give to people. And you can also, it's great because you can make them in advance. So when you're working on holiday stuff, you put these in the oven. It takes about an hour to make them. It's not very difficult. But once it's done, you know, you can make big batches and box them up and give them to people, and now, people
I've
love
tried.
Them.
They're phenomenal. So give me the variety of nuts that are in the bag.
I use almonds, cashews, and pecans, but you can also use any nuts that you want. I mean, I just happen to, that's usually what I do, but you can do all almonds, you can do all pecans, you can mix them up.
I love them all. Like the cashews and pecans are probably my two favorite nuts, period.
Yeah, I'm a big cashew girl.
Here's the thing, and you can't taste this through the radio, but they taste phenomenal. And you can watch this, though, on WGNradio.com/watch. What's fascinating about this is the coverage. Now, I've tried this before. What is your secret to getting the ingredients to stick to the nut?
It's egg whites.
Egg whites.
So you mix the egg whites and you get them to their till they're frothy, and then you get that's the first thing you do, and then you mix up your sugar and the cinnamon and.
So how many pounds do you do, like a poundage thing for your?
I can do 4 or 5 pounds at a time. Wow. So I have another humongous bag at home that I can, you know, give to people. So then you put together the sugar, the cinnamon, cayenne pepper, and chili powder, and then once you have that, you know, you mix that all up, and then your egg whites are in a huge bowl, and then you dump the nuts in, coat those, and then put the sugar in and coat those, and then the other when you bake it,
you don't want to soak the nuts, right?
No soaking nuts.
It's just a quick bath.
Just a quick little stir them up, get them coated, then you pour the sugars in, get everything coated up, and then you put them in the oven and they bake. I think it's 300 for 20 to 40 minutes. If I have a very large batch, it takes longer. And the key to it is stirring them every 20 minutes. So everything is getting coated and they're getting done. And I kind of maybe halfway through, I'll turn the pan so that they all get equally brown and coated and nice and crispy.
Are you using raw nuts or already cooked nuts?
I use raw nuts because you do throw salt in there as well. So it's best not to get salted nuts because then it may get too salty.
Or pre-cooked might get too too dry.
Right. This time I actually did use unsalted cooked cashews this time because I couldn't find the raw and they turned out okay. As long as they're not salted, I think it's a key because you want to keep your salt right. Yeah, it doesn't want to get too salty.
That's great. It's a really inexpensive gift. And then you do these cute little boxes. Where do you find? Do you do the spray glitter yourself or you find that all?
No, actually, I just bought those at Papyrus. I like to give them in the little Chinese food takeout boxes. It's easy to put them in there. And then, you know, I did a Hanukkah one and a Christmas one and, you know, just buy a fun ribbon and put it on. And it's
cute.
Really easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a personal gift. You put your time into it. Your sweat equity is into this. I like that. I was just saying earlier with one of our guests that, you know, for us, we love to do like personal craft gifts. And this falls right in line with it. Now, have you ever tried chocolate dip nuts?
No, I haven't. But that could be good. You could maybe drizzle them with white chocolate on the top.
That's what I'm thinking with this. Yeah. I would take this like the post-holiday spicy sweet nut thing. What I would do with yours, because I hope you're leaving me that bag.
Well, I am. And then in the other box is this homemade granola that I make too, so we can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about this. But the alternative uses, ooh, that's chili's got me. The alternative uses for this after the holidays, we were talking off radio about this. What are some things you do with this mix? Because I think it's a very universal recipe.
It's great because you can chop them up and throw them in salads, which is awesome. Or you can chop them up, put them on top of a brie with like a fig jelly or something, and they're fantastic. Also, we've taken when you have just the crumbles and the sugar, put it on top of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really, really good.
When you
good.
scrape the bottom of the pan when it's coming out of the oven?
Even that, or even the bottom of the bag when it's kind of the sugar, the cinnamon, the chili, and the sugar at the bottom.
Yeah, how funny is that? Really like, good. You think you're at home and you do these things at home. You're like, I'm the only one who probably does this.
Right.
Everybody does it.
Everybody does it.
I love it. Yeah, but that's great. This is awesome. And then on average, I mean, if somebody was wanting to try this at home, your cost on this can't be too much, right?
Nuts are expensive. So that's your main cost. But otherwise, you've got spices and egg whites, and that's probably already in your pantry. So.
And if you're not a good cookie maker, what a great alternative.
Right. And they do ship really well because my son in California, I ship them to him all the time.
How many years have you been doing this?
At least 5 or 6.
So now are you known as the sweet and salty nut
lady? I am kind of the sweet and salty nut girl.
I love that. Should be your brand.
Nick DiGilio is going to take that right out of context.
I'm sure he will. That and many other things.
Yeah.
So how long is the shelf life after this is made?
Actually, they last a couple months. If you keep them sealed in a Ziploc bag or in a container, they'll keep for a really good a long time. And yeah. People also love it. And the other thing I've done when I serve them, I'll throw craisins in there with the nuts, and it's kind of a nice side little appetizer to
like
put
at
party, the bar.
Put them on a bowl. I like that idea.
Yeah.
For nut allergy folks, this isn't for you.
Obviously not.
But you can take the spice recipe that we'll post on our WGN page. And real quick, so this is your granola, your secret granola recipe. We can't give that away just yet. But can we post this recipe
absolutely,
up on our WGN? Dave, you'll
make
that happen.
I love to share recipes.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have more with Kim Gordon. We're going to talk about her amazing granola recipe.
It's Floreal Bakery, actually, in Chicago. It's their recipe. I can't take credit, but I found it and I made it, and it's delicious.
Oh, yeah. It's my jam right there.
Like that.
A little Macklemore downtown. That little dedication to downtown Shabby in the season finale last night. You might want to stop it now because he's going to cuss in about a second.
Oh, no, it's edited. It's
you got the edited version.
Oh, yes, I took care of that time we played it, yes.
How many texts did you get on that, Dave?
No, not really.
That's good.
Good thing I listened to it before I even aired it here.
Yeah, good. Hey, has anybody got any updates on the Bears game right now?
I
see you got a text coming in here. Beating Frisco ain't no big deal. So maybe they're winning.
You know I'm a Packer fan, so I'm worried
you
about that Packers
not.
Score.
Yeah,
sorry.
You care not. Is that what you got in your ear? You got the Packers game going on?
Yeah,
in one
exactly.
Here we're being joined by Kim Gordon from our very own news department here at WGN Radio, who, by the way, has been here for over 10 years.
Yeah.
You got an interesting story in how you got here. Let's talk about how you landed here and how you have lasted the test of time at WGN Radio.
Hard work, my friend.
Yeah, give us the spill the beans, Kim.
So basically, I moved here 10 years ago from Louisville, Kentucky. It's where I was born, grew up. And I thought when I came to the big city, my radio career would be done, over, kaput. And I applied to two places. WGN called me, asked me if I wanted to be a freelance reporter. I thought it was great because my kids were still in school at the time. I needed to help them acclimate to living in Chicago. And so I started freelancing here, and it's just kind of evolved. As they've gotten older, I've spent more time here and less time at home, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah, what a great career. I mean, you're in one of the third largest city. You're at one of the most iconic radio stations in the country, and you managed to stay here for 10 years.
I blink an eye, and I've been doing this now for 20 years. It's unbelievable.
And you've always been in the news
Always
arena?
Done news.
Yeah. Never had aspirations to host a show?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Stephanie keeps asking me if I want to co-host or host a show, and I'm like, well, I got to co-host first.
And then
I'll think about it.
If you had your opportunity to do your own Kim Gordon show, what would it be?
Oh, I would love to do something on food blogging and food and cooking and restaurants. That's kind of my...
But you're like...
One of my interests.
You're like a
And also
tiny
working
little gal.
Out, so we got to balance it.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, you're fit, you're tiny, but you like to eat.
I do.
So what are some of your favorite haunts that you go to around the Chicago area?
Well, I just went to GT Prime the other night, which was fantastic. My husband and I went there for our anniversary. I don't know if you've...
I have
know much, that I've yeah. You know been married 31 years because Bill and Wendy have been talking about it for a week now.
Yes, I actually was listening to Bill and Wendy the other day, and I heard Wendy say congratulations, and Bill made fun of her for saying why did he think it was weird? I don't understand.
Well, because she was doing a live read, and then all of a sudden she was like, "Oh, Kim, happy anniversary!"
Right,
so it
was
just kind of
right
random in the middle, so he thought it was kind of funny.
How many years you've been married?
31.
Wow, what's the secret, Kim?
Just a good friendship, I think.
Yeah. The nuts, the spicy nuts.
David.
Hey now.
Hey.
Spicy nuts. Yeah, I think spicy nuts are important to a good relationship. I really do.
Yeah.
Especially when they taste like this.
Exactly. Well, thanks.
Yeah. So seriously, though, like, what is the magic formula? Yeah, I know friends, but you got to be lovers, too. I mean, what is it?
And
do you?
And we still are, actually. And that's really the nice thing, because all of my kids are grown up now, and they're older, and they're out of the house. And my husband and I really still have a wonderful time together. We love to play golf. We love to travel.
And what age with your kids, though, did it turn back to, like, oh, we actually have a relationship again?
I think it was when everybody was out of that. Well, as they slowly started to leave and go to college and you're together more by yourselves without, extra people around.
Mm.
So
did it take a minute to kind of reconnect and like find each other again?
It did. It was kind of like, wow, really? We're still friends after all these years?
Oh, you know, like that. Nice. You
yeah,
like that music?
Let's go play golf. Right. Let's go eat downtown. Yeah, yeah. Let's just get in the car and go somewhere. Let's just go somewhere for a weekend.
So basically I'm screwed until college.
You got a while.
Oh, God.
How many years?
How many years have I been married or how many years have my kids go to college?
Well, both.
I've been married for, let's see, 2011 we got married. So what is that, like 6 years going to be? And then we've had kids. Well, we got married right before we had Luca. So my son's 5. What do we have, like another?
Hopefully Sherry's not listening right now.
God, please don't. I'm butchering, I'm butchering all the dates that I should have tattooed on me. But yeah, I think we got 10 years of friendship.
You know, but that's the thing.
We start dating again.
As long as you, you know, I came here with nuts, and now I'm giving marital advice. But you know, as long as you
guys, Kim, welcome to the Frank Fontana Show.
As long as you guys can just stay a team and work through it and work hard, that's you'll make it.
Yeah, it's inspiring words by Kim Gordon. Let's talk granola.
Yeah, I mean, we'll move from unhealthy spicy nuts to healthy granola.
Exactly. So you like this granola from Floriolos?
Floriol, I believe
Floriolos.
It is.
Okay.
But it's great because it's one of those granolas that's a little healthier. There's only olive oil. The sweetness comes from maple syrup, you know, and the rest are basically spices, cinnamon and ginger.
You got rolled oats in here. You got pumpkin seeds. AKA pepitas.
Yes.
Flaxseed. And I guess you got some
Toasted pecans.
Toasted pecans. Some chopped dates. I'm a huge fan of dates.
Craisins. I love dates. Anything with dates, I love.
The Moujardine dates. What do they call those? I am a huge fan. I get the organic ones, the giant
They're
pack
so
of them.
Delicious. I could just sit there and eat the pack.
Yeah, me too. And I do. Here's a little secret I do at our house.
Okay.
Do you ever microwave a date?
No.
Are you microwave friendly?
Yeah.
Okay. Some people are just weird like that.
No, I am.
Yeah. So we take the pit out and then microwave it a little bit, and then you get a little vanilla ice cream.
Ooh.
You chop up it's like heaven. It's like caramel. It turns into caramel basically.
Yum. Because yeah. I love stuffing them with blue cheese. That's delicious.
Oh yeah. How about
blue cheese or
bacon wrapped dates?
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Anything dates really is a good thing. We went through a whole raw vegan phase. We do this every couple months. Like, we'll go through phases. And I'll try out a whole bunch of different, like, diet trends. Like, coming up, I think, is it next week, Dave, or the week after? We're talking to Johnny Juicer, who is this, like, internet celebrity, basically, who became a raw vegan.
That's for December 18th.
December 18th. Great guy. Grew up in, like, an Italian family. Ate normal, healthy Italian food. Like, normal meaning tons of cheese and tons of... But suffered from all these side effects and physical ailments and stuff. And then as soon as he started doing juices and cleansing and eating raw, all the stuff went away. He shed, like, 10 pounds. And he barely works out, but he's, like, ripped. And so I wondered if there's a secret to that. I mean, because you're into fitness and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I've done a raw food cleanse, I feel great, but I ended up craving meat for some reason.
Really? I'm not a big, huge meat eater, so that's not kind of my thing, but...
Chicken and fish?
Chicken and fish.
Yeah. So my point being is we used a whole bunch of date-based desserts, which were phenomenal. Did you ever go to Karen's Raw?
I have not been to Karen's but I've heard of it, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, and they're all vegan, raw food.
And I know you can't believe that it is vegan.
Oh, it's so good that you would never, ever guess it. With your granola, you brought some with you. I'm not going to open it because it's too pretty. I'm going to open it later.
You're welcome to open.
No, I'm not. I'm going to take it home and use it as a gift for my wife. I'm like, honey, look what I got for you.
So sweet.
Yeah. We could post these
on
our...
You team player, you.
See? I'm learning from you.
She's going to tell you, put our date of marriage on the box so you can remember.
I do May 1st, 2011. I know that.
Nice.
See? Don't put me to task. I know my dates. And even if they were wrong, nobody else would know except for my wife who's listening. Kim, thanks so much for coming in and playing with us. We'll post these granola and spicy nut recipes on our WGN Radio page. You can listen to Kim win like every day here at WGN Radio, right?
Monday through Friday.
And you're with Cochran in the mornings?
No. I'm with Bill and Wendy and then Steve Bertrand during the business lunch. Tomorrow I'm going to be with Ro because Judy Pilak's out of town, so I'll be filling in for her. So
that's why we talk
you know,
about
on and off.
It, right?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, good stuff. Kim, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. And come back again if you have any more. Like, you want to talk food? Let's talk food.
All right. I'm happy to talk food.
You know what you could do for us? You can, like, eat at a new place every week and then come in and talk about it.
I'd love to do that.
You want to do that, Dave? Why don't we set that
up? That'd be fun.
We'll have a cooking with Kim.
Especially when it gets cold, we tend to eat more, so that would be great.
Oh, yeah? He's leaving out the part that you need to bring us leftovers.
Oh, okay. Well, usually there's not a lot.
As long as they're not like maybe I can go a day or two with leftovers, no more than 2 days, though. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a good plan.
And right now, there's a huge art show coming to town December 9th through the 11th. It's called the Harlem Fine Art Show. Excuse my my salty and sweet nuts in my throat from Kim Gordon. Thanks, Kim. And we're being joined right now by Dion Clark. He's the founder of the show. You can find the Harlem Fine Art Show on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram using hashtag HFASshy, C-H-I. Dion, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad to be back in Chicago. This will be our third year for the Harlem Fine Art Show. And as you know, Frank, we're the largest African diasporic art show that travels throughout the country, bringing what we call some great cultural nutrition in. Yeah, bringing in some snow in here also.
I know, you brought it with you. Exactly. So where's the home base for you guys?
We're based out of Harlem, New York, right in where the Renaissance starts.
Yeah.
We've been there and been growing for the last 8 years. We're, again, a hybrid of a show that was once called the National Black Fine Art Show, and it was headed up by a gentleman by the name of Jocelyn Wainwright, and of course someone all Chicagoans know is Stedman Graham.
Yeah.
They actually did the show for a number of years, and I was, again, one of the soldiers that kind of built that particular opportunity. And as they decided to do other things, we took the show out of Lower Manhattan and Soho area, and we brought it to, again, back to Harlem, and really started the new opportunity to really kind of bring some great culture and nutrition in. We have some of the best artists and galleries from throughout the world, and we're going to be here for the next 3 days in terms of from December 9th through the 11th, over at a new venue. We've left Merchandise Mart. We wanted something that would be a little more user-friendly. We wanted something where people could come and get free parking. Parking in
Chicago.
What a
concept. Hey, man, that's a rarity, all right?
You know, so it's a free parking opportunity. It's a great Soho type of look. It's a new venue. It's called the Life Creative, and it's in the West Loop area. It's the artsy type of section.
Yeah, West Loop's booming right now, man. Yes. And that's a great joint to have an exhibit like this.
And we'll be there for 3 great days. We have first of all, we're doing something that's near and dear, I think, to every Chicagoan's hearts and our hearts. We're opening up the show for the Chicago Public School System for free.
That's fantastic.
They come in and the kids will get the opportunity to walk through the show. They'll meet the artists, meet the galleries, and it'll also be a motivational type of opportunity where they can talk to some of our sponsors like United Airlines and Northwest Mutual and Country Financial. There's a chance for them to talk to the kids and really give them some light and shining types of opportunities that might be available.
That's a great program, man.
Yes.
And I love that.
Then in the evening, we kick it off with our gala or our opening night, and we're hosting the Lynx organization as a fundraising type of opportunity. So the money goes back into Chicago again.
Is that a VIP thing, or is that something that anybody listening right now can be a part of?
It's open to the public. Everybody can come. It'll be just
no tickets needed?
Tickets at the door. Tickets, you can go up on our website, hfas.org, and look for those tickets. But it's a way just to come and get a firsthand look at the show and then really kind of think about it. And then you got 2 days to come back
And see those pieces you fell in love with and learn more about. Will the artist be present through the whole exhibit?
That's the good thing about our show. All artists are present on the field. They give you the opportunity. Well, I did this because of A, and I did this because of B, and giving you a good understanding. And then the gallery owners are there who bring some of the collectible type of art, and they have some of the great Chicagoans like Elizabeth Catlett, Charles White, again, the key individuals that really kind of show how the Harlem Renaissance and the quote-unquote the Bronzeville type of opportunity have really kind of exploded and come together and really spread throughout the country.
And what do you feel, you know, from an artistic standpoint, the difference between a New York vibe and a Chicago vibe when it comes to art?
Well, I think our art is something that transcends Chicago and New York. It's really about an impulsive buy. It's about something that you embrace, something that you see that you really like, or you see the past, present, and future, one of those, and really kind of put your arms around it and say, I'd like this impression. I'd like to be this. I'd like this to be in my home. Yeah. I'd like to be able to see this on an ongoing basis or experience and find out the history and the background of it. So
sure. I mean, being a former New Yorker myself, I mean, I was born in New York, raised in the city, was in Brooklyn, and been to Harlem a million times. I still go to New York. I'm going in a couple of weeks for the Today Show. I mean, I believe I got New York in my blood. Moving here to Chicago, different vibe, you know, still a cool city, really great, you know, a little more earthy to me, you know, I think. But I feel like there's definitely a, like you could tell a New York artist from a Chicago artist, you know, what is that thing that makes that difference?
Well, it might be the flavor. It might be the personality of the individual, but our artists are not just New York artists. Our artists are from all around the world. We have some artists that come from Europe. We have some artists that are actually from Africa itself. We have some artists from around the corner here in terms of Chicago. So we've got an eclectic group of artists and galleries from the United States and Caribbean countries and, as I say, the world. And we all put them together under one bandwagon, and we develop the Harlem Fine Art Show. They actually apply, and they go through a jury process, and when they're selected, they come aboard and they represent the best of the best.
How intense is that approval process?
Oh, it's hectic. People smile about it, and then some people frown because of the outcome, but I think it's a nice barometer to check where you are, and just kind of breaking through that little glass ceiling, and yes, I'm a part of this, and I'm becoming not a part of the establishment, but a part of the vanguard that will be representing this African diasporic art world in itself. And that's not just African-American. That's South American. That's from Africa that brings that brilliant broom that swept from there all the way throughout the United States and the world. So that particular flow and that feeling.
Are you an artist yourself?
I have a little bit of artistic skills, but more than anything else, I'm what you call an entrepreneur.
I like it.
And we put it together in regards to really kind of making sure that the artists get a good return on their investment. They have a proper place, because a lot of times we go around the country and the artists are selling their art outside in the backyard. It's raining. It's not as respectful as it should be in terms of the quality of life that they're bringing to this energy and culture that they've manifest through their hands or through whatever they've done. So this is it's important to be able to be the caretaker of that, and we take a lot of pride in doing that at the Harlem Fine Art Show.
That's happening here in Chicago, December 9th through the 11th. We're going to learn more about that in a second. We're also going to speak to one of the artists from the exhibit, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but Kwidzai Mutasa?
Perfect,
Look at that. God, I should have said a shot of tequila for everybody when I get it right. It's usually when I get it wrong. We are talking all things fine art. We're here with Dion Clark from the Harlem Fine Art Show. It's returning to Chicago December 9th through the 11th at Life Creative. That's at 1655 West Walnut Street here in Chicago. The schedule goes as follows. Friday night is the opening night. It's got a big reception. And that happens from 6 to 11. Then Saturday, the exhibit continues. You'll have an exhibition and sale. So, Dion, the people can buy the art right there as well. It's not just to see.
Right. It's one of the I think most cost-effective opportunities to really get collectible art and just great art for your home decorative type of opportunities also. So, yes, you can meet, you can greet, and you can negotiate with the artist and really be able to get some good buys, especially for the Christmas season.
Sure.
This is the time to really do it and to make your home blossom in a way.
And give a one-of-a-kind gift, which is personalized, you know, art from a true artist like a gal we have sitting right next to us, Kwidzai Mutasa?
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. And you lugged in some beautiful pieces through the snow, which God bless you. That's awesome. How long have you been doing art?
So I've been a professional artist for about 10 years now, but I've always been a doodler, you know, as a young child, drawing and sketching.
I say the same thing. I was a doodler, too. So and from there you took your craft and you know some of your pieces, your mediums are very interesting. Mm-hmm. I like the three-dimensional aspects of them. Talk to me about it.
So I like to call it textured mixed media. So with my pieces, I've kind of branched off to do texture because it allows, I think, the viewer to have an experience with the artwork. I think it allows for them to kind of imagine themselves part of the piece, and it's also a talking point. So you'll see this piece right over here. I love flowers. And so with flowers, they're here today and gone next week. And with these flowers, I call it my imitating real series, where it's taking a flower and making it three-dimensional so you have that piece with you forever.
That's a good point. I like that angle, too, mm-hmm. because I do love flowers, and they mm-hmm. do go away, mm-hmm. but to capture it like that is just gorgeous. And you have a website, too, where people can check
yes.
out your art. What is that?
So it's iamkudzai.com. I am, and then my first name, KUDZAI.com.
Where do you find your inspiration? Where do you, you know, find that creative, you know, nugget that just mm-hmm. keeps you going?
Well, it's definitely from God. He just uses me as a vessel. I love music. I love what's going on in society. Anything in the arts, music, plays, things like that really inspire me. What's going on with current events always help to kind of spark something in me.
And for those listening who are budding artists whose parents are saying, you'll never make money, don't do this, don't paint, mm-hmm. what say you about that?
I say follow your passion, because your passion will make room for you. The Bible tells us that your room will make it for you and bring you towards great men. So if you are doing what you love, it'll make opportunities for you. So I'm not just a full-time artist. I'm also a brand manager. And so I use that creativity in my workspace as well. So never, you know, stop creating, because you don't have to be a visual artist. You can use that creativity in any aspect of your career.
And I'm going to chime in a little bit, because the art field is an exciting and very lucrative field, a great field. And I remember when this young lady first came to us 2 years ago or 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and she was working with the great Kevin Williams. They used to call him Whack. He used to just do – he does some fantastic work. And she was a mentee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should I get on – should I get into the fast lane? Can I do this? And we said, come on, learn. Be a part of it. Be mentored by some of these great, great artists. And they were talking back and forth. And the next thing I see her selling paintings, and I see her expanding now to the point where she's a representative of the art professional field, and she brings in a great return on their investment. And
good
the Harlem
you.
Fine Art Show, mm-hmm. we sell over $3 million when we come here over a four-day period of time. And that
wow.
money doesn't go to the Harlem Fine Art Show. It goes directly to the artist in terms of what they sell for their booth. So mm-hmm. some come out to be big winners, and sometimes some are not as successful, but it's a matter of growing, learning the industry.
Exposure, and getting out there. And we actually have a caller coming in who has questions about, I think, last year's show. Hey, Sally, you're on with Frank and Dion. What's going on?
Hi. How are you? We went last year.
Yes.
My friend and I had a really nice time. I was very glad that we went. But I was you had a small book section, right, if I recall?
That's correct.
Okay. I was wondering if you're going to produce something like maybe samples of the artist's work in a booklet. You know, like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I have something from the Guggenheim Museum, and they're like 15 by 10 sheets that are samples of, you know, prints of the artist.
I understand exactly what you're saying, Sally.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we will evolve into. But right now, we are working directly with the growing artists, the career artists. So theirs is a little bit harder to actually embrace and put into a book like this. But talk with them, and they can get you some almost the originals or limited editions that might satisfy that need at a very cost-effective rate.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Sally. And unfortunately, we're running out of time. One more time, where can folks find out information about the show and times and all that stuff?
Well, it's the Harlem Fine Art Show. It starts on the 9th of December, and it runs through the 11th. It's at the Life Creative Event Center. And again, more than else, anything else, hfas.org. That's hfas.org. And again, that experience will be tremendous, and it'll be something that you can think about till the year after when we come back again.
Dion, thank you so much. And we'll have you back when you do come back. Good luck
thank
with
you.
The show. And Kudzai, thank you so much. for coming on. Your art is amazing.
Thank you.
And also, one more time, your website?
It's iamkudzai.com. So that's K-U-D-Z-A-I.